The market doesn't joke around, so why would you? Get serious. Choose Tastytrade. Tastytrade gives you the tools you need to make smarter moves. Dig into data with advanced charting, track profit accurately with order chain trackers, see risk clearly with curve analysis, and trade with low-capped commissions, stocks, options, futures, and more. All on one platform. No wonder serious traders choose Tastytrade. Join the club, genius. Tasty Trading is a registered broker-dealer and member of FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Frank Holland, and you're listening to CNBC's Worldwide Exchange. Our show is live weekdays at 5 a.m. Eastern. Listen in. It is 5 a.m. here at CNBC Global Headquarters, and here is your 5 at 5. We begin with stocks. They're pulling back again this morning as Wall Street hovers just below all-time highs. We're going to tell you the advice that Jim Cramer is giving should this pullback gain more steam. Stocks, they may be just a bit lower, but one thing's definitely not. That's Bitcoin, coming within $1,000 of its record all-time high. We're going to check the price action this morning. Also today, a fresh read on retail as Target gets set to report results before the open today. The number one thing that investors should be watching for. Plus, how Nelson Peltz says he wants to restore the magic at Disney that he believes has been lost under CEO Bob Iger. And then later here on Worldwide Exchange, it is Super Tuesday. And while maybe Nikki Haley's last hope in this 2024 election, it is anything but for investors looking to break out their election stock playbook. It's Tuesday, March the 5th, 2024. You are watching Worldwide Exchange right here on CNBC. Good morning and welcome to Worldwide Exchange. I'm Frank Holland. Let's get you ready for the trading day ahead. We're going to kick off the hour with a check of U.S. stock futures after a lower session for stocks yesterday that saw the major averages all fall from their record all-time highs. So take a look right now. You can see in the red across the board, the Nasdaq, the hardest hit, down more than 0.5%. Looks like the Dow would open just about 60 points lower. All right. A big part of yesterday's pullback, it was linked to Apple, coming off a more than 2.5% decline, linked to that nearly $2 billion fine from the European Union, alleging anti-competitive behavior in the music streaming space. Taking a look at shares of Apple. Oh, lost a little graphic here, but we're just going to keep it moving. Fractional losses for the majors doing nothing to stop top individual gainers, however, with more than a fifth of the S&P 500, including four Dow components, trading at all-time highs or fresh 52-week highs. And that includes, we're going to start with the Dow components right here, Disney, Amazon, JP Morgan Chase, and Caterpillar. You can see some mixed movement here in the pre-market for these names. We also saw names across healthcare, industrials, and materials also hitting fresh highs. Names like Cardinal Health, Eli Lilly, General Dynamics, Vulcan Materials, and United Rentals. Coming up, we're going to dig deeper into these sectors and look at some names that are still ripe for a breakout. We also have a guest later in the show with a new acronym for this trade. Okay, outside of stocks, we don't always check metals, but when we do, just know they're hitting all-time highs. Case in point, gold right now trading at its all-time high. You can see right now it's up just about 0.33%. We'll continue to talk about the moves in this if there's something to talk about. We're also checking what a lot of people call digital gold. That's Bitcoin, as it hovers just a tick below its all-time high of $68,982, briefly, very briefly hitting $67,500 yesterday. Right now, you can see a bit of a pullback in Bitcoin as well. It's down about 1.5%. Remember, Bitcoin trades around the clock. Right now, trading at basically 66,000, almost 600. Okay, that is your Tuesday money setup. Let's now go to Washington, and we have a news alert from the Biden administration and its fight against inflation. Our Megan Casella joins us now with much more on this story. Megan, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. That's right. The White House Competition Council is out with some new steps this morning to promote competition and prevent overcharging of U.S. consumers. The most concrete step they're announcing this morning is that they'll be reducing the amount that credit card companies can charge for late fees. They'll be taking that average fee from around $32 currently to a maximum of $8. That rule is set to take effect roughly 2 months from today, and the administration says it should save consumers some $10 billion a year. In other steps, a few other highlights here. The Federal Communications Commission will be taking steps to reduce internet costs for some people who live in apartment buildings. The goal there is to make sure people are not getting charged for services they didn't want and they didn't opt into. The Agriculture Department is also cracking down on meat and poultry processors in a bid to help farmers and help reduce costs for farmers. Bigger picture, the White House is also launching what it's calling a strike force on prices. That's going to be jointly led by the Justice Department and the Federal Trade Commission. And the goal there is to boost collaboration, really share data and resources across agencies to root out what the administration says are really deceptive and illegal attempts to keep prices high. They'll be focused on things like food, prescription drugs, housing, transportation, financial services. The list goes on. Now, overall, Frank, of course, a lot of this is simply good messaging for the White House as it tries to fight inflation. But the White House also says that competition is good for the economy and that their actions on junk fees alone are already saving Americans some $20 billion a year. Frank?
So, Megan, a lot of announcements here from the Biden administration. I want to narrow in on one, that credit card rule. So we've heard about this before. Is it really going to happen this time?
You're right to be skeptical because we have heard a lot about this already, but this is in the final stages now. So what that means is that as soon as it's published, which we expect could be later this week, it should take effect 60 days from then. I will say there's two caveats, though, which are both pretty important with that. One is that credit card companies could sue. They could try to attempt to block this rule in some way. There was some pushback with the rule as it was initially written. The agency, the CFPB, did adjust it slightly. So they say there shouldn't be any need for immediate litigation. But of course, that's always a possibility. The other is that there is a possibility for larger credit card companies to adjust to charge slightly more than that $8 level, if, as the CFPB says, they're able to show their math and say that it really does cost them more than $8 to actually collect.
All right. Our Megan Casella live in D.C. with some new announcements from the Biden administration. Megan, always great to see you. All right. Time now for a check on some of this morning's top corporate stories. Our Silvana Hanau is here with those. Silvana, good morning.
Hey, Frank. Good morning to you. Well, AMD hitting a roadblock in its efforts to sell an AI chip specifically tailored for the Chinese market. Bloomberg reports the company tried to get approval from the Commerce Department to sell the processor, which was designed to meet U.S. export restrictions with a lower performance. But government officials told AMD the chip is still too powerful and the company must obtain a license to sell it in China. AMD and the Commerce Department haven't commented. Meanwhile, the FAA says an audit of Boeing and supplier Spirit AeroSystems found multiple instances of the company's failing to ensure manufacturing met quality standards. The agency has stepped up scrutiny of Boeing since a door plug on a 737 MAX 9 jet blew out during an Alaska Airlines flight back in January. Last week, the FAA gave Boeing 90 days to develop a plan for addressing safety issues. And Nelson Peltz has published his manifesto for changes at Disney as he prepares to face off against the company at its shareholder meeting next month. In the 133-page paper titled Restore the Magic, Peltz and Tryon Fund Management cemented demands for overhauling Disney's board and its business. These include a succession plan for CEO Bob Iger, a review of its studio operations, and a digital strategy for ESPN. Tryon, which owns roughly $3.5 billion in Disney stock, wants to get Peltz and former Disney CFO Jay Rasulo elected to the board, Frank.
The saga continues, Silvana. Right now,
sure
Disney
does.
Shares under some pressure, but they did hit a 52-week high yesterday. Silvana, thank you very much.
You got it.
All right, turn our attention now back to the markets and check out this stat. This one's courtesy of Jonathan Krinsky from BTIG. So the NASDAQ 100 has gone 303 trading sessions without a pullback of 2.5% or more. That's the third largest stretch since all the way back in 1990. The Triple Q ETF, which tracks the NASDAQ 100, of course, it marched to 14 straight record highs through Friday before ending in the red yesterday. Krinsky says while this does not mean the AI-driven boom in the market is headed for a sell-off, he does think that we're overdue for some sort of shakeout. Also, on Mad Money last night, our Jim Cramer, he really disputed the talk of bubbles in AI and other sectors, saying the haters, they have failed to celebrate market victories.
I will be ready to buy if this market sells off. Not immediately. I'm not going to be like that. I don't take the first bite. But the haters, they'll be ready to show scorn. They'll say, I told you so. I say, thanks for nothing. You didn't tell us anything. Just raise some cash and be ready to do some buying if and when the market has its inevitable pullback after this incredible run from November of 2023.
Our Jim Cramer addressing the haters out there. Let's get another perspective from Alex Morris, president and CIO at FM Investments. Alex, good morning. Not sure if you're a hater. We're going to find out in a second, but good morning. Great to have you here.
Good morning. Thanks for having me back, Frank.
All right, so let's dig into this one. What do you think about all this? Is this the time to really dig in, keep piling into this momentum trade with mega cap tech, or look for some other opportunities? We're going to show a chart that you're pointing out that since October the 27th, if you look at the S&P and the S&P equal weight, they're trading pretty closely. I mean, the S&P is a little bit higher, but the equal weight's pretty close. So in your mind, where are we at? Are you what Jim Cramer might call a hater, or you're sticking with this mega cap tech trade?
You know, I'm not a hater. I don't think the AI trades are going away, but I think this is a good time for folks to take some winnings and really think intelligently about where you want to be diversified. It's really hard to look at the Mag 7 and say this is the best trade now. And it's really kind of the Mag 3 because we've kind of lost a few folks from making all-time highs. Amazon just did, and you know, it's going to continue to probably do that. But if we look at what I'll call the S&P 493 or the S&P everything else, that's had a pretty good year too. From that October 27th, you know, you can see the, you know, kind of where the S&P has been. And if you looked at just the Mag 7 version of that, they've been up 30%. That's pretty nice. But everything else has been up about 25 too. So you're getting a pretty good, you know, trade, but picking up a lot of pretty good diversification at the same time.
Yeah, for the people just listening, S&P since October 27th up 24%, equal weight up 21%. Also, you're looking at something, it's not as sexy as the AI trade, but it's something that you think is a pretty good investment right now, bonds, specifically corporate bonds. You gave us one way to invest, the ZTWO ETF. It's short-term corporate bonds. Why short-term corporate bonds?
Yeah, so we bought Z2 out, which was an opportunity for folks to invest in pretty precision targeted corporate bonds. You know, we wanted to give folks current coupon. And I think where a lot of folks get side with it bonds is, one, there's an awful lot of them, so it's hard to pick things. And if you look at the bond indices, they're just chock full with thousands of bonds, some of which don't trade very well, so pricing is off. So we wanted folks to have the opportunity to be precise. We like the short end of the curve still, you know, moving into some duration. There's a lot of new bonds in the 2 and 3 year market coming to offer on a regular basis. So investors are going to get that current coupon in the 4s and 5s, as opposed to seeing yields of 4 or 5, but being forced to wait 2, 3, 4, 5 years before they ever see that total return in their portfolio.
All right. I know you also like retail. You call Target, which reports later today. You call it growth at a reasonable price, but I do have to say analysts are expecting same store sales to fall, a key metric for them. They also guided to sales to possibly be lower, maybe even flat. What's the growth that you're talking about when it comes to Target?
So longer term, Target's been on a nice growth tear. It's trading a little bit below. It's 17.2 trailing, you know, 5-year PE. It's about 16.8 now, so maybe a rounding error, but close enough. It is a pretty good beater of expectation, though. Last quarter, it had a pretty low bar, and it jumped well over it. Analysts have been warming recently. You know, there have been little tweaks to their estimates, but 3 or 4 times it beats on top line and on bottom line. And, you know, this could be another quarter for them. And if you look at just in general marketplace, the consumer's been resilient, and Target's a place that consumers like to spend their money. With an upcoming paid membership program, I think they've got a good opportunity. But my report card will be in a few hours, won't it?
Yeah, I think we're going to all find out. By the way, Target trading about 1.5% higher ahead of earnings. Alex, great to have you on the show. I know you're a Chicago guy. I know you and your family used to watch me on WGN back in Chicago. Great to have you on this show. Literally, say hi to your mom. Good to see you.
Will do.
All right.
Thanks, Frank.
Turn our attention now to a developing story and watching shares of Tesla. Local news outlet citing a Tesla spokesperson that says the company's factory outside Berlin, Germany, has been evacuated and production is now at a standstill due to a fire near the plant. Police and fire officials adding the fire has not spread to the factory itself. We will continue to watch this situation. We're going to bring you the latest developments. Tesla shares we're also watching right now. They are down about 2.5% in the pre-market. All right, coming up, we have a lot more ahead here on Worldwide Exchange, including the one word that investors have to know today. But first, China reveals its economic targets for the year ahead and its new buzzword for growth. We have a live report from Beijing. That's coming up next. Plus, getting set for Super Tuesday and some supersized moves you can make to your portfolio today to try to take advantage of some pretty profitable election year trends. And then later, your big money movers. And the EV price war has taken a toll on Tesla and its top rivals. We have a very busy hour still ahead when Worldwide Exchange returns.
What does it mean to be rich? Maybe it's less about reaching a magic number and more about discovering the magic in life. At Edward Jones, our dedicated financial advisors are the people you can count on for financial strategies that help support a life you love. Because the key to being rich is knowing what counts. Learn more about our comprehensive approach to planning at edwardjones.com/findyourrich. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
From pit lane to podium, the Las Vegas Grand Prix is providing fans a race day experience at the speed they deserve. With the help of T-Mobile for Business, our 5G advanced network solutions are powering race day operations with event-wide connectivity. From streamlined gate entry to an immersive app, giving fans blazing fast access to the sport they love. This is accelerating innovation. This is the Las Vegas Grand Prix with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
All right, welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. We have a market flash on Apple. Sales of its iPhone in China falling 24% from a year ago in the first 6 weeks of this year. That's according to new research from Counterpoint. They say Apple saw increased competition from domestic rivals. That includes Huawei, which says they saw their sales jump a whopping 64% during that time. You can see right now shares of Apple down 1.5% right now in the pre-market. We're going to stick with China now. Leaders there revealing the latest economic targets for 2024, looking to tackle deflation risk and surging unemployment. Our Eunice Yun joins us now from Beijing with much more on this story. Eunice, good morning.
Hey, Frank. Well, the targets are largely unchanged from last year, but because they're coming off of a higher base, these numbers are seen as a bit more ambitious. Now, the premier, when he unveiled these numbers and targets at the National People's Congress, said that GDP would be around 5%, a consumer inflation at 3%, unemployment at 5.5%. Now, to support the growth, China would stick to a fiscal deficit of 3% of GDP and issue more ultra long, they said, special treasury as well as local bonds. The local bond number was a little bit more than what people had been expecting. But for the most part, all of that money would be invested in what they described as major national strategies as well as security areas. Now, the premier had also acknowledged that it wasn't going to be easy to reach their targets. At the same time, he didn't signal any meaningful change to the approach, saying that China was going to stick with a policy approach that's proactive as well as prudent. Now, where they did make or possibly signal that there could be changes coming is in the language of the work report, where they dropped for the first time President Xi's mantra that he had set forth in 2019, housing is for living in, not for speculation. That has been suggesting to some here that some of the restrictions on housing are going to be lifted and just make it easier for people to invest there. They pushed made in China brands overseas. That was also seen as a priority in the work report. And also, interestingly and notable, the authorities dropped the word peaceful when they described unification with Taiwan. So this, coupled with a higher defense budget, Frank, of 7.2%, did raise some eyebrows.
Yeah, some very interesting language there. Back to the housing. I remember, Eunice, you showed us some of the empty apartments and empty condos over there in China, a lot of that from speculative buying. Another thing I want to really focus on here, you mentioned that they made a push for made-in-China brands overseas. What about domestically? Yep. We just did a report right before you. I'm sure you heard Apple sales falling in China. Is part of that from government, maybe incentives for people to buy Huawei phones and other domestic phones? Is that linked to this at all?
It's not explicitly linked. The report did, though, get some attention domestically. It was one of the top trending topics today, and people were throwing out all sorts of theories, saying that it's just largely because people have had to cut back on spending. There was one theory, though, that people were saying, well, I'm not allowed to use an iPhone at work anymore. So there was a lot of discussion that was triggered by that report. In terms of the policy that the government has been pushing forth, it looks as though they will be promoting made in China brands even more so than they do today. But also, interestingly enough, that they were pushing this idea of new productive forces, which they see as kind of growth drivers in technology. And there's been a lot of discussion about how the authorities here are concerned about China falling behind when it comes to some of these more advanced gadgets as well as IT.
All right, Eunice Yun with the latest report. China setting about a 5% growth target for 2024. Eunice, always great to see you. Great reporting as always. All right, coming up here on Worldwide Exchange, we have your big money movers and the super move from Supermicro as it gets set to join the S&P 500. Stay with us.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
Welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. I'm Francis Rivera with your NBC News headlines. Let's start with the latest out of Texas. Wildfires continue to rage in the state's panhandle, now claiming two lives. An estimated 500 structures have been devoured by the flames. The Smokehouse Creek fire, the largest in the state's history, was only 15% contained as of yesterday. Authorities say the cause of the fire is under investigation. But a new lawsuit alleges Xcel Energy, a utility company, is to blame for the Smokehouse fire. Massachusetts Air National Guardsman is facing up to 17 years in prison after pleading guilty to leaking military secrets. Jack Teixeira admitted to leaking sensitive national security secrets, including highly classified military documents about the war in Ukraine. Sentencing is scheduled for September. A legendary lineman made it official Monday that he has snapped his last football. In an emotional press conference, Philadelphia Eagles center Jason Kelce announced his retirement from the sport after 13 seasons, all of them with the Birds. Kelce, a six-time All-Pro, was a crucial part of the team's 2017 Super Bowl run and became a Philly icon for his impassioned, expletive-laden speech during their victory parade. And he managed to drop some of those F-bombs, Frank, during that press conference. In between all the tears that were dropping as well. Frank?
Oh, Francis. Somebody's like cutting onions in here. I'm tearing up right now. I don't know if you know this. I'm a big Eagles fan. I'm so sorry to see him leave. He's really been the heart and soul of this team. And by the way, do yourself a favor. Google his Super Bowl parade speech. He dresses up as a mummer. It's a Philadelphia thing. It's too much to explain, but priceless.
It's a meme. There's whole, like, best of reels of all his greatest hits out there. You can't beat
priceless.
It. Classic.
Priceless. All right, Francis, thank you very much. Great to see you as always.
Sure thing.
All right, time now for your big money movers. We're going to start off with Tesla. We were talking about Tesla earlier in the show. Looking to extend yesterday's losses. The stock falling more than 5% on a fresh round of discounts and price cuts in China and in the U.S. It's now down 20% in 3 months and dragging down other EV makers. That includes Li Auto, XPeng, Geely, and NIO. Supermicro Computer, it's a name we've been talking so much more about, taking a bit of a breather this morning after popping more than 18% to start the week. The rally comes as the stock prepares to join the S&P 500 next Monday. By the way, that's March the 18th. I think people think of next Monday differently, but it's next Monday. I don't know how you see it. Anyway, March 18th. Shares are up more than 270% this year with a market cap of roughly $60 billion compared to $4.5 billion in just 2022. Also, shares of GitLab, they're plunging this morning. Fourth quarter results topping estimates, but guidance came in a bit light. Management citing churn and contraction among customers, though they remain optimistic about integrating AI throughout the software development lifecycle. You see shares of GitLab. They're down almost 24% right now. All right, coming up, the star-studded guest list at one Far East wedding that saw the likes of Rihanna, Bill Gates, and Mark Zuckerberg answering the age-old question, chicken, steak, or fish? Plus, Cookie Monster's solution for sticky inflation. We have your top trending stories. They're coming up next when Worldwide Exchange returns. Stay with us. It is right around 5:30 a.m. in the New York City area, and there's a lot more ahead here on Worldwide Exchange. Here is what's still on deck. Stocks are set to face fresh pressure after kicking the new trading week off in the red. Despite the dip, a number of stocks hitting fresh highs. Futures, however, they are in the red. Key on investors' agenda today, Target results, pulling back the curtain on the retailer's critical holiday quarter. We're going to tee up the numbers that you need to watch. Also, it is Super Tuesday. Voters in more than a dozen states voting in primary contests with a likely Biden-Trump rematch in November, what it could mean for the markets and for your money. It is Tuesday, March the 5th, 2024. You are watching Worldwide Exchange right here on CNBC. And welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. I'm Frank Holland. Let's get you ready for the trading day ahead. As always, we're going to pick up the half an hour with a check of U.S. stock futures. Markets, they're coming off a lower session with the major averages falling from record all-time highs. Take a look. You're seeing red across the board. It looks like the Dow would open about 70 points lower, but really we're watching the NASDAQ right now down about 0.75%. All right, a big part of yesterday's pullback, it is linked to Apple, coming off a more than 2.5% decline due to that nearly $2 billion fine from the European Union alleging anti-competitive behavior in the music streaming space. You can see shares of Apple, they're down 1.5% in the pre-market right now. Also, fractional losses for the majors doing nothing to stop individual stock gainers. About 102, not even about, exactly 102 S&P 500 stocks, a fifth of the index, including four Dow components, trading at all-time or fresh 52-week highs. Let's start off with the Dow components. We're talking Disney, Amazon, J.P. Morgan, and Caterpillar. Also, we're seeing names across healthcare, industrials, and materials hitting fresh highs. We're talking names like Cardinal Health, Eli Lilly, General Dynamics, Vulcan Materials, and United Rentals. And then outside of stocks, we're seeing something else hit an all-time high. We're talking gold. It's currently trading right now at about $21.30 an ounce, up almost 0.5% right now. And we got to talk about what a lot of people consider digital gold. That's Bitcoin. It's hovering just a bit below of its all-time high of 68,982, very briefly hitting 67,500 yesterday. Right now, you see it's trading at just under 67,000. Okay, we're going to turn our attention back to the markets and an earnings that's coming up later today. We're watching shares at Target ahead of their earnings, as I mentioned, in the next hour. Key to that report, that's going to be same-store sales, which have declined over the past two quarters. It's also been going head-to-head with rival Walmart over lowering prices and higher frequency categories, including food and beauty. The stock, it's down 8% over the last year compared to Walmart's 25% gain. Joining me now with his outlook is Michael Baker, senior research analyst at D.A. Davidson. He's here in studio and he's here in New York for Target's Investor Day that's coming up later this morning. Great to have you here. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
All right, so let's talk about it. I want to start off with your price target. You got a price target of 167. You also have a buy rating. Your price target implies about a 10% move higher. What are you expecting in this result? Because we just mentioned Target's been under some pressure recently.
Yeah, well, they'll report in about an hour or so. The fourth quarter, we do think same-store sales are going to be down. But to us, more important than the fourth quarter is the 2024 outlook. And there we think it's going to be, the story is going to be a story of a recovery year for Target. We think margins should be better this year than they were last year. They, in 2023, they had a lot of issues. Shrink was an issue. We think inflation really hurt them more than others. So we do think they'll have a better 2024 year as they cycle a lot of problems that they had last year.
All right. So this represents the holiday quarter, includes Christmas shopping, Hanukkah shopping, holiday shopping in general. In your note, you say that Target's losing market share. They mostly focus, or I guess their core business is discretionary shopping. Isn't holiday shopping discretionary shopping for the most part? So should this be a very strong quarter? And does that mean just as much or could it mean as much as the guidance? Because I know a lot of people are looking toward the guidance, including you.
Sure. Yeah, I think their fourth quarter will be better than some of the previous quarters of the year because discretionary did do a little bit better. They've been comping down 4 or 5% all year. We think they'll do a little bit better in the fourth quarter. But still, to me, the holiday is obviously important, but the 2024 outlook to us is just that much more important. And we think they'll guide to something closer to around flat for the full year next year. Again, as they cycle a lot of issues that they had in 2023, that pride issue in mid-year hurt them, for instance. So we think the worst is behind them, and they probably had a relatively decent fourth quarter relative to expectations.
You know, you just mentioned shrink. I got to say, I haven't heard anybody else talk about shrink. I mean, it was a big thing last year, a lot of talk about shrink. Haven't heard a lot about shrink. I know in my hometown, Philadelphia, the Target downtown, surprisingly, actually closed because of shoplifting, supposedly. I've talked to some business leaders there. How big a deal is shrink currently, and why is Target the only person talking about it?
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Over the summer, that's all anyone could talk about was shrink. It was the key issue. It probably would have led the story. We think what has happened is some of the retailers have gotten their arms around it a little bit. They've put in some mitigation factors. Frankly, the accounting has gotten better, right. So they've, they're more on top.
Has Target gotten their arms around it?
I think a little bit, yeah. So the worst is behind them. So really big issue in the first and second quarter, a little bit less of an issue in the third quarter, and really now it's gone away just as they've gotten their arms around it. So for the full year, still hurt their margins a little bit, and they do cycle it next year, but a lot of that was earlier in the year.
I do have to ask, so you mentioned a couple different factors. Are they getting their arms around it with accounting, or is it with store closures, or is it a combination?
Yes, other mitigation factors. They've gotten some policymakers to step in and help. You know, it was all over the news over the summer that, you know, there's been all this rampant theft. And, and so they've taken they've started to combat some of that. So it's really, you know, multi different ways that they've tried to combat the shrink issue.
All right. Michael Baker from D.A. Davidson, your price target for Target head of earnings, 167. Thank you for being here.
Sure.
All right, you want to be sure to catch CNBC's exclusive interview with Target CEO Brian Cornell. That's coming up at on Squawk Box at 7 o'clock Eastern. Again, Target CEO right here on CNBC, Brian Cornell at 7 a.m. Eastern on Squawk. All right, time now for a check of some of this morning's top corporate stories. Our Silvana Hanau is back with those. Silvana.
Hey, Frank, good morning. The Biden administration taking new steps to tackle instances of price gouging aimed at reducing costs for American consumers. That includes the launch of a new strike force jointly led by the Department of Justice and Federal Trade Commission. It will target efforts by companies that illegally raise prices for things like groceries, prescription drugs, housing, and other areas. Former Twitter executives are filing a new lawsuit against Elon Musk. The group, which includes its former CEO, CFO, and chief legal counsel, argue they are owed $128 million in unpaid severance from when they were ousted from the social platform during Musk's 2022 takeover. Those execs had clauses in their contracts stipulating that they could receive severance if Twitter was no longer a public company. And Google co-founder Sergey Brin speaking out on the company's AI product Gemini in a rare public appearance over the weekend at an AI-focused event. Brin said the company definitely messed up when it came to Google's faulty Gemini image generation launch. Brin elaborated that it likely came down to not enough thorough testing on the product, Frank.
Yeah, I mean, certainly a lot of controversy around the results that Gemini put out. Looking at Alphabet shares, they're actually down in the pre-market, down about 0.5% as well. All right, Silvana, thank you very much. All right, we're going to turn our attention now to the 2024 presidential race today. It's Super Tuesday. Voters in more than a dozen states, they're going to head to the polls today for the biggest primary contest in the lead up to the election. It's also being seen as Nikki Haley's last shot to slow former President Trump's path towards being crowned the Republican nominee. But it appears that November will most likely feature a rematch between Trump and President Biden coming up in November. As voters, they're going to have to decide who is going to be in the White House. For much more on what that could mean for the markets and for your money, let's bring in Ed Klizel, Chief U.S. Strategist at Ned Davis Research. Ed, good morning. It is great to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So a little historical fun fact here. This is the first time that two former presidents have faced off since 1892. I'm going to save the audience a Google. It was former President Grover Cleveland defeating incumbent Benjamin Harrison. I want to ask you, is that dynamic? Is that meaningful for investors in any way?
I think it is, because one of the two big reasons that the market reacts to the presidential election is the uncertainty over what's going to happen, and particularly if the incumbent loses. You don't know what the policies of the new administration would be. And we have a recent memory from 2016 to 2020 of what the economic policies of a Trump administration could be. So perhaps, even though, because the uncertainty over who's going to win is going to be there because it's probably going to be a tight election, the fact that we probably know the basic policies of Trump and Biden could remove some of that uncertainty.
By the way, for the audience, this is one of those days you want to listen and watch. We're showing some sector moves based on who the president is. For example, we just showed how industrials move when Biden was the president, also showing other sectors when Trump was president. I want to go back to sectors right now. Right now, of course, tech is showing a lot of leadership in the markets. But according to your research, in Q1 of an election year, obviously we're in Q1 right now, investors turn defensive. You call it the shut index or the shut trade. We're talking staples, healthcare, utilities, telecom. Are you expecting to see that trend continue this year? Is there anything that, with tech, you know, obviously surging, does that break up that historical trend in your mind, or do you expect investors to turn back to that?
We think there's a possibility for the market for a host of reasons to have some consolidation within the bull market coming up over the next several weeks to couple of months. So we wouldn't be surprised in that kind of environment that we'd get some more defensive leadership. And so if you think about defensive sectors, your staples, healthcare, utilities, and telecom certainly would fit that bill. So we wouldn't be surprised. Now, I mean, you have to look in the broader context. You know, the economy is doing quite well. That we're now talking about whether or not the Fed needs to be cutting rates as aggressively as we thought before. And that's you know, fairly positive for cyclicals. So, you know, this is just one data point. But to think we'd get some, you know, a bounce from some of the defensive sectors and a consolidation, okay, you know, isn't too big of a stretch.
Yeah, just by the way, materials actually outperforming tech over the last month. Just speaking to your defensive trend when it comes to the end of Q1. So I think the last question we have to end on, the economy is pretty strong. I think that's the consensus across the board. General thinking is that that favors the incumbent. In this case, especially with the country really divided on so many issues, do you expect the economy to be a big factor when it comes to voters?
If it keeps improving, yes. Like, for example, you've seen consumer confidence tends to rise when the incumbent wins. You've seen an improvement lately in the University of Michigan index. But Biden's really got to focus on inflation, and that's going to be the biggest issue economically. So if inflation continues to come down, I think that will probably be a positive for the incumbent Biden.
All right, Ed Klizzle, great to have you here. Thank you very much for your time and for your insight. Have a good day. All right, coming up here on Worldwide Exchange, shares of AMD, they're under some pressure ahead of the open. Details on the reportedly new hurdles it's facing in getting its AI chip to China. You can see shares are down more than 2.5%. Now, we've got a few of your top trending stories. The battle of the billionaires heating up once again. Jeff Bezos surpassing Elon Musk as the world's richest person, jumping to the top of the Bloomberg Billionaires Index for the first time since the fall of 2021. He's now worth about $200 billion compared to Elon Musk and his measly $198 billion. Even Cookie Monster not impressed with today's economy. In a post on X, Sesame Street's favorite blue monster says, "Me hate shrinkflation." That's a terrible impression, but that's what he said. "Me cookies are getting smaller." That's what he added. He also added, "Guess me going to have to eat double the cookies." Terrible impression, but great comments from Cookie Monster. Cookie Monster speaking on the economy. And it may have been the hottest ticket of the year. Mark Zuckerberg, Bill Gates, Ivanka Trump, and Rihanna, among the high-profile figures traveling to India for billionaire heir Anant Ambani's pre-wedding party over the weekend. A three-day celebration hosting over 1,200 guests in a new Hindu temple complex that's being built for the wedding. I've actually seen online some video of Rihanna performing. I'm not sure if it was tied to this or not, but amazing wedding, clearly. Much more Worldwide Exchange coming up after this. All right, welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. It is time now for your morning call sheet. We start with Citi resuming coverage of Novo Nordisk with a buy rating. Citi says the market underappreciates Novo's ambition with respect to scaling its popular weight loss drug Ozempic. You can see shares of Novo right now, however, down about 1.75% in the pre-market. JP Morgan raising its rating and price target on C Limited, moving it to overweight and $70 a share. JPM saying the Singapore-based tech conglomerate has earnings expectations that are likely to see positive revisions in the near term, and that's driven, according to the analyst, by e-commerce. You can see shares of C, they're up 1% in the pre-market. And Loop Capital downgrading its rating on Williams-Sonoma, moving it to a hold. Loop saying the move is based on the current valuation as opposed to a more bearish view of the company's fundamentals. Shares of Williams-Sonoma not moving in the pre-market. Time now for your global briefing. We start with China, setting its annual growth target at right around 5%, higher than estimates from the IMF and the World Bank. Economists warning the target will be hard to reach without more policy support as the country deals with an elongated property slump, stubborn deflationary pressures, and slowing consumer demand. In India, shares of Tata Motors, they're hitting a record high. The country's most valuable carmaker says it will split into two listed firms, separating its commercial and passenger vehicle businesses. According to filings, the plan will not have any material impact on shareholders and could take as long as 15 months to go into effect. You can see shares of Tata right now. They're up 3.5%. And U.S.-based communications equipment firm Viavi Solutions will buy British telecom testing company Spirent Communications for more than $1 billion. Spirent shareholders will get around $2 per share along with a special dividend. The deal values Spirent at a premium of about 61% based on its closing price yesterday. You can see Viavi just moving fractionally higher, but Spirent, those shares up more than 59%. All right, coming up here on Worldwide Exchange, we have the one word that every investor needs to know today, plus the market signals that have our next guest on board with small caps. Yep, small caps. We're going to talk about them again. And if you haven't already, follow our podcast. If you miss Worldwide Exchange, check us out on Apple, Spotify, or other podcast apps. Much more WEX coming up after this. All right, welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. We are taking a look at the NASDAQ 100 laggards right there on the top of the list. Chipmaker AMD down more than 2.5%, followed by another chipmaker, Marvell Technology. Palo Alto, a cybersecurity player, down 2% as well. That company been under some pressure since announcing a change in the way it does business. Tesla there as well. We reported earlier they're having a fire very close to one of its factories. We'll update that story if need be. Okay, time now to turn to your WEX wrap-up. We begin with a group of seven banks, including Morgan Stanley, reportedly in talks with Elon Musk over refinancing more than $12 billion, $12 billion debt package that he used to purchase social media platform X. Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway joining a lawsuit accusing the National Association of Realtors and several other brokerages of conspiring to keep real estate commissions artificially high. Shares of Berkshire down fractionally right now, probably not related to that news. Also, the FAA flagging multiple instances of compliance failure in its production audit of Boeing and Spirit AeroSystems, the agency taking issue with Boeing's manufacturing process control, parts handling and storage, as well as its product control. Taking a look at shares of Boeing. Those shares are up just fractionally in the pre-market right now. We're going to turn back to AMD right now. That was one of your NASDAQ 100 laggards facing pressure from Washington over its efforts to sell an artificial intelligence chip designed for the Chinese market. Bloomberg says U.S. officials have told AMD the chip is too powerful and needs a license from the Commerce Department to be sold. As we mentioned earlier, AMD shares down just about 2.5%. Activist investor Nelson Peltz slamming Disney in a 133-page manifesto calling for an overhaul of the company's board and its business strategy. This as he prepares to face off against the company at its shareholder meeting that's coming up next month. Disney shares, they're down about 0.5% right now, but they actually hit a 52-week high yesterday. Apple also slumping again this morning. A new report showing iPhone sales in China, they're down 24% in the first 6 weeks of this year, as it faces increased competition from the likes of Huawei. Apple shares down 1.5%. Here's what to watch today. We get February ISM services and January factory orders this morning. We also are watching earnings from Target. We've been talking about it all morning. Box, Nordstrom, and CrowdStrike. It's also Super Tuesday here in the United States, with more than a dozen states holding primary contests for the 2024 presidential race. All right, markets coming off their first negative session in the past three. Taking a look at futures, we've been watching them all morning. In the red across the board, looks like the Dow is off of its lows of earlier, but still would open about 55 points lower. It's the NASDAQ that we're really watching under quite a bit of pressure. Joining me now is Jay Woods, Global Chief Strategist at Freedom Capital Markets. Jay, great to have you here in the house.
Great to be here.
What do you make of what we're seeing in the NASDAQ? Futures under pressure right now. It's just actually all futures in the red right now.
Yeah, we've come so far so fast. I know Jim Cramer, you highlighted it earlier in the show, was talking about a pullback and being ready for it. We've gone 87 days without a 2% correction in the S&P 500. We're up 16 out of 18 weeks. It's the only time that's happened in my lifetime. Goes back quite a while now, unfortunately.
Fortunately, we want to keep you living.
So what happens when you run too far too fast? You take a break, you pause. So a natural pullback, a 5% correction, I say this all the time, happens three times on average a year. We pull back 5%. Okay. We're still above all key technical levels. And this is normal and healthy, and seasonally, we tend to take a break around this time of the year. So I'm not concerned about any small pullback. I would use it to put money to work.
All right, Jay Woods saying buy the dip. Okay, so you have your WEX word of the day today. You cheated a bit. It's actually an acronym.
I know. I felt bad about this, and it's him. Where do you want to invest right now? We talk small caps a lot. We want to invest in three sectors in particularly: healthcare, industrials, materials. Those are the three sectors that are all breaking out of nice long-term bases, really starting to broaden out within each sector. But look at healthcare first. You know, you had Eli Lilly, you had Merck, AbbVie leading. The stocks that have been lagging, Bristol-Myers, Pfizer, J&J, they've stopped going down. Pfizer, we're still waiting on Pfizer, but there's strength there. And where I'm seeing the strength, and particularly Cardinal Health, Stryker, and EW, Edward Life Sciences, these stocks are for that aging population, which we're in the boom of that aging population.
I'm going to skip the eye industrials. We've seen those hit a 52-week high in recent weeks. I'm going to go to materials, kind of an unloved sector recently. But I was just looking. It's actually outperformed tech over the last 30 days, over the last month, not, you know, over a year or anything, but over the last month. What does that signal to you? I know you're looking at both the technicals and also the fundamentals of some of these companies.
Yeah, well, you're looking at, you know, we're industrials, and the things are the things that make, and the things that help make are those materials. And those material stocks, Linde, L-I-N is the symbol there. It's 22% of the XLB, which is the material sector. that's been leading, and now we're starting to see follow. Sherwin-Williams coming back for the first time in 3 years, just about to make 52-week highs, breaking out. That's the kind of stuff we want to see when you see broadening out of the rally. RPM, a small stock in Cleveland, making 52-week highs. They haven't done that in a long time. So I like to see not just the leaders within the sector, but right. some of the small caps underneath. So that gives me credence to HIM, Healthcare Industrials Materials.
All right, so you want to talk small caps. You have a lot of people coming on talking small caps. They did hit a 52-week high yesterday. Mm-hmm. But generally, historically, they're kind of pressured by higher interest rates, which we're seeing right now. So what's your case for small caps? You got to give us the elevator pitch.
Okay, they're pressured by high rates. Where are we right now? We're higher for longer, and they're making 52-week highs. They're absorbing this change. If we do get that cut, then I think that's the platform, the tailwind they need to kind of go to that next level. So I'm happy that they're making 52-week highs at 5.25%, 5.5% in the Fed fund rate.
But below their all-time high.
But yes, 16% to run. So you look for stocks that haven't really gone yet. That's the sector to go. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm still in love with technology and discretionary stocks. But if you're looking for stocks that are a little safer, less volatile, and have room to run, that's where you want to go.
Jay Woods here with the HIM trade. Jay, thank you very much.
You.
All right, before we let you go, one quick look at the futures right now. As we mentioned, they've been under pressure all morning long. The NASDAQ under the most pressure. Looks like the Dow's off of its lows would open up about 45 points lower. That's going to do it for us. Squawk Box is coming up next. Thank you for watching. You've been listening to CNBC's Worldwide Exchange. You can always catch us live weekdays at 5 a.m. Eastern.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.